It's easy to make a child's holiday. Just bring a new unwrapped toy to First Energy Stadium on Sunday, December the 15th for the Cleveland Browns Toys for Tots Toy Drive. Marines will be collecting toys and cash donations at the gates from 11 a.m. through the first quarter. For more information, visit clevelandbrowns.com. The holiday season, always a good time to be generous and help out those less fortunate. You can do that. Make a difference in a kid's life with the Toys for Tots Drive, December the 15th at Cleveland Browns Stadium, or First Energy Stadium. Apologies. The newly, soon to be the new First Energy Stadium, redesigned, etc. All right, it is time for my favorite part of the week, Friday Forecast, here as we take a look ahead to week number 14 for the Cleveland Browns and the rest of the National Football League. Dino, take it away.
Gentlemen, as we start here on our Friday Forecast here, what is my countdown here? First one for you guys for
number five.
Call your AFC North shots. The Bengals are hosting Indianapolis, Steelers hosting the Dolphins, and Baltimore gets a visit from Minnesota.
Sadly, I think the division goes 3-0. I think this Indianapolis team has a lot of flaws right now. Big they are not throwing the football effectively. They do not run the football effectively. Andrew Luck is much worse outdoors for his entire career than he is in the dome. I think Cincinnati wins that one. I think it's a no-brainer that Baltimore beats the Minnesota Vikings at home, and then I think the Steelers, in the cold, inclement weather, will be able to handle the Dolphins. So I think it is three wins in the division this week, and I'm probably going to leave that number at three when we get to the 14th.
I'm inclined to go with your thought here, that all three will win. I think of those three games, the best one could surprisingly, well, I don't know if it's that much of a surprise, Miami, I think, could give Pittsburgh a better game. I think their pass rush, their ability to get to the quarterback, could be a thing that keeps Ben Roethlisberger a little bit off balance, keeps that offense a little off balance.
Number four.
Put yourselves, guys, in the shoes of Ray Horton as you're game planning for Sunday. How in the world are you going to cover Rob Gronkowski? What do you do to try to stop him? Do you put Joe Hayden on him, your best cover guy? How do you stop Gronk?
All right. Number one, you don't stop him. You because you can't.
Yeah.
There's no stopping him. This is the same kid that I saw dominate. He's doing it in a much larger body now, but I saw him do this stuff as an early teenager when I first met him back in Western New York. He just dominated in the football field, basketball court, hockey rink, you name it, he did it. And it's the same way now. He's and guys, there is no physical matchup with him because he's so large and he's fast and he can jump and he can just swat defenders away like flies and pick the ball out of the air, as Fred Smirlis told us yesterday in his Boston accent, like a little oyster. So I think that's going to continue to be the case for him. The best plan is to stay as true as Ray Horton can to his scheme in terms of covering the tight end and hope people, just like other teams do here, because I think the more attention you're going to give to him, the more you're just going to give Tom Brady a free pass to do other things with ease. It's going to be easy enough for Brady, I think, to have success because he just does. But I think if you're tying up too many defenders, including Joe Hayden, on this guy, on one guy, you got a problem. But that said, you better, it's zone coverage is what this Browns team likes to play. So everybody should be on their game on the handoffs of the particular zone. So if it is going to be Joe Hayden in a certain area to Sean Gibson in a certain area to whomever else falls into coverage, could be TJ Ward in different places, then remember, Gronk gets moved all over the place. That's how they work it with him.
The only way to stop Rob Gronkowski is to put that kind of the punt defense on him. We saw the Saints do that against Dez Bryant, where you literally line two people up in front of him at the line of scrimmage and don't let him get 5 yards down the field. You just try to physically overwhelm him. Tom Brady, I think, would have the weapons to pick us apart other than that, but that's the only way that you stop Rob Gronkowski. Let's not forget, this is a Cleveland Browns team that has allowed multiple tight end touchdowns in two of the last three games. This is a team that has struggled with tight ends. They've given up 8 tight end touchdowns in the last 7. Guys like Joseph Fouria, guys like Mercedes Lewis, Clay Harbor, these are the people who have abused the Browns, and now Rob Gronkowski comes to down. That's the only chance you have, but I think it makes you too vulnerable to everything else that the Patriots want to do.
Number three.
Well, we mentioned early in the show, guys, the Houston Texans fired head coach Gary Kubiak today. My question for you guys on Friday Forecast, who's the next team to let a head coach go?
Well, I don't know that there's going to be another in-season firing. Not really anticipating that. But I think the next guy that I think is very vulnerable would be Mike Shanahan in Washington. I think he's really vulnerable there, and something's going to give there between Robert Griffin III and Mike Shanahan, and of course his son Kyle, the offensive coordinator. That situation has been a train wreck since last year, and it's only gotten worse. And the camps, there was a great piece in the Washington Post about how divided those camps really are, and that there are in fact camps, and that Robert Griffin III's father is involved in this dispute, if you want to call it that. Jeez. The tension, the back and forth, it's really ugly. And I don't think Mike Shanahan's going to be able to survive that, especially with a team that isn't playing particularly well.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike Shanahan bolt for Houston, where he would be kind of a seamless transition from Gary Kubiak in terms of offensive philosophy.
Yeah.
There's no question. So that's something I put on there. I agree with him, and I think if the Detroit Lions don't get it done and don't make the playoffs this year, Jim Schwartz should go, because that team is so talented. The one thing that I think holds them back is coaching right now, and I think if Jim Schwartz left and you got a real head coach in there, that team would be even better than it is right now.
That's an interesting point, and you know they face a big, big game against the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday, and I think that could be a determinant there, because if he were to win a game like that, it's gonna bode very well for him. But if he doesn't, you're right. I think you start looking definitely with a wary eye toward what's holding back a team that otherwise has a lot of talent.
All right, guys, I want to make sure we have enough time for Gerard, so we'll go right ahead to
number one.
And as always, call your shot, gentlemen. Browns, Patriots, and what, if any, a possible path to a Browns victory would look like?
Well, the shot doesn't allow for a path to victory, at least in my mind. It is a shock here.
No, I know.
Patriots 35, Browns 17. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game, unfortunately, from a Browns perspective. And this Pats team, this offense has been rolling, and it's been rolling really ever since Gronkowski got back to the lineup. He missed the first six games. He's been in for the last six, and he's just been a terror. He's been what he has been, and I don't see the answer for him. I don't see the answer for just dealing with Tom Brady either. But if we're going to create that path to victory, that path would include putting pressure on Brady, finding, and I mean extraordinary, I mean to pressure that is noticeable from the very start of the game, disruptive, bust in the front of the pocket consistently, getting in his face straight up, with straight up the middle. That is where Tom Brady has always been the most vulnerable, if you can ever call him that, in 14 seasons in the NFL. And the second part of this equation is a path that has the Browns, especially Josh Gordon, making plays, doing what he has done against a secondary that has those vulnerabilities.
I see it going 38-14 in favor of the New England Patriots. I think their offense is just too much for a pass defense that's allowed multiple passing scores in seven straight games. The Patriots themselves have rushed for a touchdown in seven straight games. Too much offense, I think, for this Browns team. But the path to victory for me is as follows. Number one, they need to be on the right side of those turnovers. You saw it in the first half against Denver. They will put the ball on the ground, will the Patriots. The Browns need to get those fumbles. They need to take care of the ball themselves. They need to run the football against a team that's given up nearly 400 yards rushing over the last two games. And Willis McGahee, fountain of youth time for you, my friend. They've given up 395 yards and four touchdowns on the ground. Take advantage of that. Teams have rushed for more than 100 yards against this New England Patriots team now in seven of the last eight games. They've got to do that. Set it up for some big plays to Josh Gordon. Protect the football. Get lucky on the turnovers. Get some big plays, and that would be, and steal one. We'll see what happens.
All right.
That's the Friday forecast, guys.
Beauty. Okay, Gerard Cherry coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKR.